beginning with verse 1. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Luke's gospel for our consideration today. Please be seated. Defining Christmas. There are many things that you and I accept by tradition and we never question. And there are certainly many things about the joyous Christmas season that we never question at all. We know it's a time of happiness and family fun. We know it's a time to decorate those Christmas trees, and we like to see those wide looks of the children who are contemplating that visit from Santa Claus. We like to smell the pleasant aroma of fresh baked bread or cookies. And of course, we admire all those glittering Christmas cards that fill our mailboxes. And of course, the wonderful sounds of Christmas, the carols that we share. But we have to remember that defining Christmas is much more than that. During this season, I think there's a great need for each one of us to pause and to reflect on the significance of this great event of the Christian year. What is Christmas all about, anyways? I would encourage us this morning to briefly ponder three questions. First of all, how do unbelievers, people who don't believe that Jesus is God's Son, how do they define Christmas? You know, there are many unbelieving historians who write books that want to banish the country of Israel. They want to banish the story of Bethlehem's stable from world history. They want to teach a pleasure-loving generation that nothing really happened in Bethlehem that could ever affect their daily lives. And these self-made, so-called historians, they cannot, though, satisfactorily explain the power of the life of Jesus that was born in Bethlehem. Jesus, that person that was born in lowly circumstances, who lived among the low-income bracket people. Jesus, who never attended an institution of higher learning. Jesus, who never ran for a political office. Jesus, who never distinguished himself in combat on a battlefield. Jesus Christ, who was a transient lay preacher, who never had a congregation of his own. He had an uncanny knack of rubbing leaders of his contemporary society in the wrong way so that he incurred their wrath. He died after 3 short years of ministry as a result of a mock trial based on trumped up charges. Jesus, he died the death of a common criminal on a cross with one thief on this side and one thief on the other. And yet, the whole world has never been the same since his birth. An artist once drew a picture of a winter twilight. The trees were heavily laden with snow, and there was a dark, dreary home in this painting that seemed to be so alone and so desolate in this storm. It was indeed a dark and a sad picture until the artist, with a quick stroke of yellow, put a light in just one window of that home. The effect on the painting was magical. The entire scene was transformed into a vision of comfort and cheer. We have to never forget that the birth of Jesus Christ is what brought true light into our world. You know, I think if you were to ask the typical unbelieving person if they stopped in their frantic search for that last minute perfect Christmas gift for their spouse, might remark in the words of Ebenezer Scrooge, "Bah, humbug." Chances are, they, like so many people, only see the commercialization of this season. Perhaps they would deny the true meaning of the Christmas story, declaring it nothing but just a myth. Some people today, I believe, are practicing atheists. They may say they believe in God, but they have a faith that is poorly defined. The average unbeliever of our modern, sophisticated day seemingly might take pride in denying that miracle of Christ's birth called the virgin birth. But yet, their denial has done little to change the glorious truth that we worship over these past 20 centuries. I'd like us to consider for a moment how the Bible defines Christmas. The Bible, which every believer accepts as a revealed, inspired word of God, speaks plainly about the meaning, the definition, the significance of Christmas. It tells us that Christmas was the expression of God's love. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." God set the example of giving to those who never deserved his gift, nor giving to those who couldn't reciprocate his gift. You know, God gave us the greatest gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that gives us the desire to share and to give gifts to people who are in need. Not to people that necessarily even deserve the gifts, but we're willing to give to people who cannot even reciprocate the gift giving to us. Christmas means a time of celebration for what God did in giving his only begotten Son to come from heaven to earth to reveal that he is a God of love and not simply a God of righteous indignation. We know in our world today there are many people who say Jesus, yes, he was an historical figure. Yes, Jesus was a good person. Yes, Jesus was a son of God, but Jesus wasn't a son of God any different than you can say a person would be a son or a daughter of God. But I think people who have expressions like that only indicate that they have not had a personal renewal, a personal living experience with Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. When a person has had a real experience with Christ, he or she knows what Christ's power has done for them, and they're able to recognize that Jesus came to this earth as the Son of the living God, and they're able to recognize that Jesus was truly God in the flesh and truly man, both divine and human. And they also recognize that God has identified with all of the needs of humankind because of Christ's incarnation. Christmas is God's purpose in redemption. John 3:16 again, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Did you ever think of how Christmas is indeed God's fulfillment of his plan for the ages? God chose to step onto the pages of human history and to intervene on behalf of the human sinful condition. And through the birth of Jesus Christ in that stable in Bethlehem, God sent into motion a plan for saving sinful people who didn't have the power to save themselves, as God identified himself with human ministry, with human misery, causing himself to be available to be, according to Hebrews 4:15, tempted like we are, but yet without sin. The glorious completion of God's plan that was initiated in Bethlehem was completed in Jerusalem as Jesus hung on the cross. Why did the hosts of heaven announce Christ's birth? Did you ever think of that? God's ministering heavenly hosts, the angels, they came to set earth apart, to bless earth briefly with their visible and their audible presence. They sang the sweetest carols ever sung, setting an example for us to follow at this season as we sing the beautiful Christmas carols about the birth of Jesus Christ. A third question I'd like us to briefly consider this morning is this. How do each of us as individuals define Christmas? And I think most pertinent to this last question that ought to strike home to each one of our hearts is this. It's very easy to point out faults in other people. It's very easy to point out somebody's flaws. But it's hard to look inward and be objective in looking at our own lives. How do we as individuals define the significance of the birth of Christ in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago? How do we find Christmas in our hearts? Is Christmas a time of a solid review, a solemn review in our hearts of what the coming of Jesus as a baby means to us? Does it help us to evaluate how our faith in him can give us a new perspective on the meaning of the short lives we have on this earth and the meaning of the hope of eternity? We probably look at a lot of people that maybe we see something on the internet or on television, or, you know, we're driving through Hagerstown or another city, and we probably feel sorry for many people and their situation in life. But I guess the people that I feel most sorry for are those that spend their life energies in denying that Jesus is God's Son. They have no hope of eternal life. And we need to ask ourselves, how deep, how profound, how abiding is the faith in our hearts concerning that babe of Bethlehem's stable? Each of us needs to ask at Christmas, do I have assurance that my heart has been born again from above? Has the truth of Christmas truly changed the way we think and the way we live? Have we placed our faith in Christ to the extent that he changes us? We all know people this morning who are on beds of affliction. But even on beds of affliction, I know Christian people who are able to reveal that that babe of Bethlehem has been born not only into the world, but into their hearts by way of their attitude of how they can accept their illness. An individual once told a pastor during a hospital visit, quote, "If I can serve my Lord through my sickness and by the way I face up to it, then that is well with me. I have already learned that my attitude toward my sickness has been an example to someone else in this hospital to bear their sickness as a Christian soldier should." Unquote. There was once a lovely couple who were married many years, and they were suddenly separated by death. But on the night following his death, the new widow gathered her children around their table at the evening meal and led them in singing the doxology which begins, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. That widow, let her faith shine through. And by our lives, are we revealing the truth of Christmas? The truth of Christmas that resides in our minds and our hearts. I would encourage us this Christmas week to conduct ourselves so that everybody who looks at us, everybody who encounters us, everybody who sees us will see revealed in our hearts and lives the glorious truth that the true definition of Christmas is that it is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, who was truly God's Son, coming down from earth to heaven to seek and to save those who were lost and without hope. As we transition to our ministry of prayer, I'd ask that you pull out your prayer inserts at this time. Mike, our sound person back there, he's going to have available a microphone. I know we have a larger group here this morning, and I know that this might be more helpful for many of you to be able to hear some of our prayer requests, our prayer updates. Just raise your hand if you have a prayer concern, a word of thanksgiving, or a praise to share. And as Michael's looking around for the first hand, I want to mention that you would remember especially Alice